fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning. This is Peter Herbeck. Welcome to Fire on the Earth. I had a chance to tune in yesterday's program. I mentioned I began to read from a passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where St. Paul talks about each one of us is being changed into the glory of the Lord. And at the heart of it, God is revealing in Jesus, is through the work of the Holy Spirit, making it possible for us to see the glory and the majesty that shines on the face of Jesus Christ. I want to continue to talk about that today. What does that mean? I mean, one of the reasons I've been thinking about this a lot recently is that I often bump into Catholics and who essentially describe their faith in such a way that it's maybe a work of the flesh, you might say, in the sense of it's something I'm called to do to be a Catholic, and it's mainly expressed in a kind of moral striving. It's a morality play, and I'm trying every day to be my best, and I'm just going to keep working harder, and I'm going to work my way to the point where I'm hoping that God is pleased with me, that I've done enough good in my life. I mean, it's just human nature, I think, for us to be always battling with a sense of I haven't done enough, or very much aware, acutely aware of our failings, the ways we've sinned and have fallen. And we can be ashamed of it. Many of us have hidden secrets, secret sins, secret things that disappoint us when we think about our failings. And it can have an impact on our relationship with God and our capacity to be able to see His love and His beauty, His power, His desire for us to know Him intimately, personally, and to be able to receive and believe the amazing plan that He has for each and every one of us, what He actually wants to give to us. It's a battle that I can describe it like this, like somehow we feel as though we have to clean ourselves up in order to enter God's presence, or we have to clean ourselves up in such a way that we get to the point where God will draw near to us, or He'll like us, or He'll welcome us, or He'll let His favor be upon us if we've done enough to get His attention or to receive His approval in some way. Now, that may have been our experience in our own family, with our own fathers, or with people in life who have a coach or another significant person in our life that related to us that way. But it's important, it's crucial to understand that that's not God. That's not how God relates to us and sees us and understands us. Always remember, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, St. Paul reminds us. The scripture is just filled, and the exhortation of the apostles is to remember that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right? When we were God's enemies, when we weren't searching for God, when we were maybe wallowing in our own sin or trying hard and falling, whatever condition we were in, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Every single human being is fallen from God's glory. Every single human being is filled with regrets and filled with the knowledge that we failed in many different ways. But while we were yet sinners, even when our hearts were hardened, Jesus Christ loved us. On the cross, He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." God's love is revealed to us in His Son. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not die but have everlasting life. That's what it's all about. And Paul, in the passage yesterday from 2 Corinthians, explaining to us that there's a veil that covers our eyes, that the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit, it's really Jesus present in the Spirit. Jesus is no longer here in the flesh, but He's now alive in the Spirit. And it's His Spirit. It's the Spirit of the Father and the Son that's given to the world, to us, for the sake of our salvation, making it possible for that veil to be lifted so that we can actually see. We can see God. We can see Jesus. And Paul describes it this way so beautifully in verses 16 through 18 here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, "Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds." He's talking about the old law and the giving of the commandments. And as that's spoken about, we see something of God's plan there. but we don't see the full revelation of God's purpose and plan and how he has purposed to save the world through his son, Jesus Christ, and what that means and how that's accomplished. Verse 17, he says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom." So Paul's introducing to us the means by which each person is able to come to see the glory and majesty of Jesus and what we're called to be as we see Jesus, who we are, our destiny, our origin. It's all revealed in the person of Jesus. He said, it's the Spirit that brings that freedom, the freedom to be able to see and to live a new way of life. And he goes on in verse 18, he said, "And we all, with unveiled face, we behold the glory of the Lord." This is essential for every Christian. Every human being ever created was destined to come to see this. That is the glory of the Lord. Just say those words are so beautiful. The glory of the Lord. Christianity is not just another religion, another moral pathway or philosophy of life. Or it's not as, the secularists, as Freud said, it's not some kind of projection that we project up into the heavenlies because we can't deal with the anxieties of this world. So we create to bring sort of peace into our mind and give us some kind of reprieve from the pressure, the meaninglessness of life. We project the loving Father into heaven and we create religion to somehow get by and to cope. Here's what Paul is telling us. The Holy Spirit comes to lift the veil from our eyes, to make it possible for us to behold something, to actually see from the depth of our being. And what do we see? We see the glory of God. We see the glory of the Lord. And as we see the glory of Jesus, who is Lord, Paul goes on to say, we're being changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. Here's the treasure of Christianity. Here's what filled the apostles with so much courage and joy and capacity to live a new way of life and gave them so much vision. They didn't look at Christianity like some kind of morality play. They didn't look at Christianity like it's just another philosophy of life. It's about life itself. It's about the revelation of God. God came, and God's majesty and his power and his holiness are revealed in the person of Jesus, risen from the dead and seated in glory at the right hand of the Father. And you say, well, I can't see him. You can see him in the Spirit. How? As Paul says, if you turn to the Lord. If you turn your heart and mind and you say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge you're right about me. You're right about my heart. You're right about my need and my blindness and my inability to see. Lord, please lift the veil. Forgive me of my sins and whatever separates us. Open my heart. Open my mind. Let me hear the gospel in the core of my being. And when that gospel is preached, Paul says in chapter 4 here, what happens is the Holy Spirit sheds light into our hearts and we're able to see the absolute uniqueness and majesty of Jesus. And we behold his glory, his renown, his power, his majesty. And you see, the apostles talk about it all the time, often in the beginning of the letters that they write. For example, in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews puts it this way, "In many and various ways God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he's spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, the destiny of the entire human race, the whole universe, all of creation, friends. It belongs to Jesus. He's the heir. It was made for him, for his majesty and glory as a gift." It says, he's the one appointed heir to all things and through whom also he created the world. He reflects the glory of God and bears the very stamp of his nature. This is Jesus. You see what the writer is grasping. He's able to see what no one can see on their own resources. And he sees with such faith and conviction a revelation of the truth. And he upholds the universe by his word of power. This is who Jesus is. He upholds the universe by his command. He's the one who came, friends, and took on human flesh. And it says, when he made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. What made purification for sins? What did he do? When he shed his blood on the cross, he came to deal with the sin problem, which is a really big deal. And the world doesn't want to talk about it. Human beings don't want to face up to it. We don't want to live without our sin and our affection for sin and our attachment to sin. And we don't want to face how deadly it is. We get glimpses of it in things like the stories that appeared over the last month in Planned Parenthood's selling of baby body parts and dismembering this innocent child. It's horrific. And people see it and they just know there's something deeply wrong. And what's wrong with us? I hear people saying, what's wrong with us? What's wrong with a country that would do something like that? And we get glimpses of the reality of what sin is in resisting God and God's plan and God's purpose and God's creation and God's image in us. And we begin to see, dare we look inside and lift the veil in our own hearts and see that same kind of sin is in me. The capacity for horrific sin is in me. There's something wrong with me. Jesus has come, the great physician, to heal me, to deliver me. He said, having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has obtained is more excellent than theirs. Jesus is above the angels. Jesus is Lord of all. In chapter 2 of that same letter, he talks about the fact that Jesus has come to reign, and that's a fact. This is another thing the Holy Spirit wants to show us, that Jesus Christ is now in charge of everything. And it's a time of mercy for the world to be able to come and to receive Christ and his gift of salvation and become a new creation in him, to become a son and daughter of God. He's calling everyone to submit to his authority. It's a hard word for moderns. We don't like to submit to anything. But here's the truth. It's what we were made for. And the letter goes on to say, now in putting everything in subjection to him, that is to Jesus, he left nothing outside his control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to Jesus, but we see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, but now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of his death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. He became one of us. He humbled himself. But we can see now in the Holy Spirit, as Paul is saying here, we behold his glory. And as we behold his glory, here's the work of salvation in us. We not only see Jesus, but we see God's plan for each one of us revealed in Jesus. God's plan to save us is to unite us to his son, Jesus, giving us a share in his life and power. And that share, that Holy Spirit, which is a down payment of our eternal inheritance, begins to work in us and transform us into the image of Jesus Christ, his beloved Son. We're destined, friends, to be filled with glory. We're destined to participate in the glory that belongs to Jesus. This is what Christianity is about. It's not just about morality. It's about a new life in Christ and sharing in his eternal glory forever. That's the best news possible. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the Church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.